always know we're in for a good episode of the OHL podcast when we get a former goaltender. Actually, Ken, do we even call you former goaltenders, or once a goaltender, always a goaltender? Is that how this works?
I think you're always the goalie.
We love the stories we get from goalies. And the question I always start with is, why? Why would anyone subject themselves to this position in hockey? What were you thinking, Kenny?
I'm not sure, but I know my son wanted to try it when he was a kid, and I said, absolutely not.
So you learned your lesson, is what you're saying.
I sure did.
What got you started in goaltending?
Well, what got me started was, I was in elementary school, and I loved hockey as a kid. We played ball hockey and did all that stuff. We grew up in pretty frugally and went to school and did all that and followed hockey. We always watched, you know, Hockey Night in Canada and things like that. But playing was another thing. But I got kind of close to the game in grade four, just going to watch the school hockey team play. And I, you know, got close to the guys, got close to the coach, the group, and I was on the bench, you know, filling water bottles and doing all that. And then one day our goalie got hurt in grade four, and nobody piped up to go in. And I love playing ball hockey, and I could skate a little bit. So I ended up going in to fill in for him, for this kid named Glenn, and we had some success and moving forward. That's what I did, was I played for the hockey team for the rest of the year.
Amazing. And it's usually that sort of situation, right? There's some kind of emergency, or the kid that doesn't skate all that well, ends up being stuck in net too.
Exactly.
At what point along the way did you realize that maybe, just maybe, there's something that can come of this?
Well, you know, I ended up playing for our elementary school for the next 2 years. And then at the end of the year, there's always a championship game. And in Toronto, they held a championship day for all the schools and levels and that down at Maple Leaf Gardens. So, you know, the next 2 years in a row for Williamson Road, we played at Maple Leaf Gardens and we won the championship 2 years in a row. And then the following year, I was moving up to middle school, which would have been grade eight. And then I played for them. And after my first year there, the coach of the team, he'd also coached an MTHL team in the city, and asked me if I would play MTHL hockey. So that's what I did. I moved along and played MTHL hockey for him. And I played a year there for Globe, and then the Toronto Young Nats held tryouts, and they asked me to go and try out there, and I made the team as a Toronto Young Nat, and playing midget major hockey from high school, or from junior school.
Maple Leaf Gardens, what a shrine, and it's something that will absolutely factor into this conversation in just a little bit. But let me go from there. Obviously, yeah. You've alluded to the fact that you're growing up in Toronto. For a kid from Toronto, Ken, when you hear that you've been drafted into the Ontario Hockey League by the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, I mean, are you pulling out the map? Are you wondering how long the drive is? What goes through your head?
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Because I was a big Marley fan when I was a kid. We'd go down on the weekends and watch them play and run around the rink and see all the pitchers and do all that stuff. But we knew who the two Greyhounds were. Predominantly because of Wayne Gretzky. Wayne Gretzky kind of put them on our map anyways. I mean, they were there before, but he drew a lot of eyes to the Sioux.
Unfortunately, I guess for you, you end up there a little after. I mean, it's probably easier to be a goalie when you know you've got a guy that's going to score five or six for you a night.
Yeah, I was there a little after. It was called the down years, I'll tell you, when we first started out there, and they didn't have a good record. They didn't have Before I was drafted, Sam McMaster and Terry Crist both contacted me when I was playing with the Toronto Young Nats, and they came down and took my mom and myself out for dinner and asked me if I would report if they did draft me, and they wanted to know a bit about me too. But I said absolutely. I was happier than anything to even be recognized to go and play in the OHL.
What a great attitude to have, because I mean, there was a significant player about a decade after you, we'll just keep his name out of it, Eric Lindros, that would not report to the Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds, right? But you were just like, listen, give me the chance to play in this league.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's growing up on two different planets, I would think. Yeah. I'm sure that a number of kids get to pick and choose programs they get to go to. And we grew up playing ball hockey. And I mean, not even thinking that was a possible dream. These kids were all groomed. A lot of kids are groomed to go, and they get to go where they want. So it didn't matter. It was going.
What was it like playing for Terry Crisp?
Love Terry Crisp. Terry Crisp was obviously he's very animated and excited and he wants to teach you the game. And in the Sioux and in my first couple of years, my first year and a half before I was traded, of course, he was a great, great, great coach and a motivator and colorful and all that. And he held the team pretty darn close, and everybody'd been to his house and Christmas parties there and things like that. Crispy had his whole house decorated like the Philadelphia Flyers. He had the rug on the basement floor. It was all embroidered. Philadelphia Flyers, black and orange, everything.
No kidding.
Yeah. So it's funny because, when we talk about this a little bit later, our paths cross a little bit later through our kids, of course. My son played against his twin grandkids in the KIJHL in BC. So, but back to Crispy and enjoying the time in the Sioux. I mean, we had a lot of fun down at Crispy's and bounced his kids on our knees and knew his wife and his daughter, and it was really cool.
I'll tell you what else is really cool for me, Ken. You just mentioned the KIJHL. That was the first league that I ever covered in hockey.
Sycamores, oh, right?
I was working in Salmon Arm, you would know it, and they didn't have the team yet. The Silverbacks weren't there, but the Sycamores Eagles were, and I would cover the Sycamores Eagles, yeah.
No kidding. Yeah, Sycamores is still there.
That's great. So your son plays against Crispy's twin grandkids.
He did, yeah. Well, as a matter of fact, he before the K, we had run into them in a Calgary play down here, and we were playing against Trails West. And lo and behold, don't we look at the roster and there's a couple of Crisp kids on there. We're like, and because I was an assistant coach for my kids' team. We're like, I don't know. It could be, and not many Crisps on the planet. Anyways, at the end of the game, don't we walking through the? We're going through the handshake on the ice, and I don't know which kids I'm looking at. I'm sorry, my battery was just a little low. And at the end of the lineup, aren't I shaking Tony Crisp's hand at the end of the lineup? And I'm like, oh my God, Tony, I said, you were the last person I would have expected to run into in the middle of a rink at my son's game. And I said, are those your boys? And he said, yeah. And so we got talking and I sent my best to Crispy. And so don't the kids end up playing together in Princeton Posse, I believe they were playing for. And my son was playing for the Kelowna Chiefs. And then we all got together, we got some pictures, and we got them sent off to Crispy and stuff like that. It's kind of cool.
Amazing. Decades later, but those ties still bind, don't they?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, it's yeah, it's you don't realize what a small world it really is.
You talked, Ken, about, being at Crispy's place for Christmas parties and stuff. And I'm guessing that when you're up there in the Sioux, there's to some degree some isolation. So the team has to be like there for each other, both on and off the ice.
Absolutely. Yeah, we all went to school together. We ate together. We were on the ice together every day. Yeah, I mean, some kids went to different schools, but we all saw each other every day for sure. So, and then we all decided, like, if we weren't in school, that we had our favorite restaurants and different things like that. We'd all meet at all the time. So, yeah, it was really good.
Along with learning from Terry Crisp and being guided by him, you had another goaltender up there in the Sioux with you by the name of Van Beesbrouck. I guess it worked out okay for him in hockey. I don't know.
Yeah, I'd say. Well, it's funny, and I had no idea about John Van Beesbrouck until, my first camp there. And I expected to make the team. I was the first goalie selected in that draft. So I kind of expected to make the team. And lo and behold, there was another kid there. There was a Dan Launch. He was drafted behind me, but Van Beesbrouck was there as a walk-on from Detroit Little Caesars. So, and apparently there was a mix-up with I guess the other kid from the Detroit Little Caesars was drafted, and but they had lost Beezer's jersey at the tournament when he was playing for Detroit Little Caesars, and he had to wear the other goalie's jersey. And lo and behold, he stands on his ear for that tournament, and he gets drafted under the n name bar that he was wearing. So, so the other goalie got drafted, and Beezer was a walk-on, and Sam, being pretty shrewd, knew what it was, so he knew who he was. So he invited him to the Sioux, and he didn't miss a beat.
What was your first OHL start like? How nervous were you?
I was extremely nervous. I think it was in Sudbury, and I believe it was a win. The first half of the first season that I was there in the Sioux, Beezer and I split the duties because we also had an overage, well, not an overage, a 19-year-old, Mark Damore, who was still injured. So he wasn't ready to play yet. So we started the season with two 17-year-old goalies. And then the first half of the season, Damore had come back, and then we were back and forth, and then towards the end of the season, then Damore was he was pretty much seated too, and I was starting to watch games.
You guys had a pretty deep playoff run that first year. You knock off Oshawa, you knock off Kingston, and then those pesky Kitchener Rangers ended up
Yeah,
getting you.
absolutely. Yeah, they had a pretty strong team too.
They
Don't forget,
did.
you got Kenneth Bellows and Wendell Young, who played. Stood on his head for the years he was there too.
It's funny how you're always thinking of the other team's goalie,
Always, you always know who they are.
eh? Yeah, they called him Dependable Wendell for a reason down here in Kitchener.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Well, don't forget Oshawa had Sidorkiewicz too, and he was a call up, and he nobody knew he who he was until he started in the playoffs against the Sioux that year. And he had some great games.
You talked about that first start being in Sudbury, which is
Yeah.
a close trip for the Sault Ste.
Yeah.
Marie Greyhounds. What was travel like for you?
Well, travel, you know what? I kind of enjoyed it. I felt like I was a young 17-year-old when I went. So closer I was, and with more guys, and my roommate was Steve Smith, and we had a great time. I love the road trips, but starting in Sudbury was huge for me. I knew it was a big rivalry, and playing in that was just kind of broke the ice for me. And then, I got some starts through the rest of our trips up to at least midway through the season, maybe closer to the end even. Maybe the back third is when Damore came back. But I played in some good rinks there. I mean, I played in London, played in Toronto. I got a start at Maple Leaf Gardens. It was amazing.
That's got to be for a Toronto kid. I remember when I was co-oping Ken as part of my broadcasting program, and I got to spend 5 consecutive weekends on the truck for hockey night in Canada at Maple Leaf Gardens. And just as a Waterloo region boy, Leafs fan lifelong, like that was amazing for me. But to play there as a kid that grew up in Toronto, come on, come on.
It was so cool. Well,
Yeah.
it was so cool for me too, because I mean, we caught the odd Leaf game. I mean, we didn't afford a lot of Leaf tickets when I was a kid, but we always watched them, and then we always went and watched the Marlies play. So it was very cool to be on the surface for sure.
Who did you look up to? Who did you idolize as a young hockey player?
Oh my God, who didn't love Pometier if you were
Absolutely.
a
And did you copy any of the style? Like, would you skate out as far as the blue line to
I think, yeah, he was kind of my guy actually. So yeah, I'd do anything to try and stop a puck. So yeah.
How difficult was it for you the next year when you get traded away from that team that drafted you to, of all places, an expansion team in Belleville?
Well, for me, you know what, it was my opportunity, but I had met a girl in the Sioux, and it was breaking my heart to go, and I was kind of torn. And then when it was all said and done, I saw the light and went and did her, and I thought, what a great opportunity. Well, then let's not forget though, I had to go to Belleville and then try and earn a starting position there too, because when I walked in there, they had Darren Pang, and he was a high pick for Belleville at their first year.
I was going to ask about Panger because, much like Beezer up in the Sioux, you're walking into a place with another very good goaltender. But you guys pretty much split duties that first year
We
you were
did,
there. Yeah.
we did, and then they ultimately traded Panger in the end. And then I had my own ups and downs and family stuff to deal with in the end. And it's just a grind. So I ended up at the end of everything for me. I went and played another year in the OJHL for the Newmarket Flyers under Terry O'Brien there.
Why did you
So
make
that
that decision?
Well, at the you know what I had after my first year was over in Belleville, I had a really good year that year, and I got an invite, and I went to the New York Rangers training camp, and that was amazing. We had a couple of teammates from Belleville that went as well, so it was really cool.
Maple Leaf Gardens and Madison Square Garden,
And
Ken.
Madison Square Gardens. But let's keep in mind the training camp was at Rye Playland, and so we went to Madison Square Gardens, but we didn't get to play on it until you were in the end of the exhibition games.
What experiences did you take away with you from that opportunity?
Well, you don't realize just how many kids are out there, just how slim that margin it really is. There's a lot of people. You don't realize how many kids are out there knocking on the doors, the same door you're knocking on.
Yeah, so the thing is, you really have to find a way to differentiate yourself, don't you?
Yeah, you do, for sure.
Yeah. So you're in Belleville. It's an expansion team. Everything's brand new. What was that experience like as, first year for this team in the league?
Well, you knew you weren't going in there to blow any doors off any gates in terms of winning a lot of games. So we had a pretty crazy crew that Mav put together in terms of roster. Don't forget we had Dan Quinn, we had Craig Cox, we had Marty McSorley, we had Ali Budarak. I mean, we had some characters.
Yeah, and I think all of those characters were called upon early in the season. I think, again, it was a game in Kitchener, and oh my goodness, what a humdinger.
I know. We had a lot of brawls everywhere. And Mav was no stranger to it, eh? That was just kind of Mav's way of growing up himself. So
Aaron
he.
Bell, yeah, Aaron Bell, who is still up in the Quinte region and a terrific guy and historian of the Bulls and a previous guest on this podcast, wrote about that first year and said sometime around February, Mav called you all together as a team and said, "You guys, you got to be tougher if you want to win games." Do you remember much about that meeting?
Oh, I do. I do. And he's like, he said, and that goes for my goalies. And that it goes from the goalie out. Everybody's got to get their nose dirty. And we did. I mean, I ended up in deep trouble at Maple Leaf Gardens, going from one end to the other and fighting Bruce Dowie. So Dave Branch gave me, he suspended me for the rest of the year. And there was, what do we have, 8 regular season games left, and we're on the edge of making the playoffs. We didn't end up making the playoffs, but that's what Mav wanted. And it was, he kind of incited you.
That's what I said earlier when Maple Leaf Gardens would factor back into this, because I'd read about that, and yep, right after the speech from the coach, you got yourself into one at Maple Leaf Gardens. So
I did.
all how, did Dowie want to go, or were you just going to make sure this happened?
Well, I had to go because Dowie had jumped in as a second man in on a fight at the other end by his net. So Mav's looking at me and I see his teeth falling out of his. I said, "I'm gone, don't worry." So I went from my net all the way down.
Had you had other fights? Did you have any other fights after that one?
Yeah, I had a few. I had one with a Stephen Ritchie at the center ice in Kingston, and I had a fight with Greg Gilbert at Maple Leaf Gardens in another game. But yeah, once you kind of get the taste of it, yeah, you kind of have a bit of fun with it, and you kind of forget what you're really there for.
I guess that's just par for the course in 1980s OHL hockey,
It
isn't it?
was for sure. It
Is there
was.
technique, Ken, as a goaltender? Like, what are you doing? Your mask comes off, right? You're unlike the players. You don't leave your helmets on.
Well, the mask usually comes off, but you're trying, if you can, to leave your blocker on and get a hold with your glove hand and keep swinging.
Incredible. And I guess these types of events were commonplace in that whether you got involved or not, you listed off the guys that you had there in Belleville, especially. I mean, you were no strangers to the physical play.
No, not at all. And most teams kind of had that game circled because they knew what was coming to town. We felt like a three-ring circus going into town, and they weren't playing the top team, but they knew it'd be a busy day.
Right. So if you couldn't beat them on the scoreboard, just leave them a reminder that they had played the
Exactly.
Belleville Bulls.
Exactly.
Yeah. What was it like playing for Mav? Obviously, you've alluded to some expectations that he certainly had of you.
Mav was a he's a funny guy, man. He could get mad at you and he could love you in the same minute. I remember between periods once that More than once, he'd be yelling at somebody in the dressing room, and he'd be ready to come. He'd be ready to climb over the table and pick someone's ass in the middle of the dressing room. But more than once, his teeth fell out in the middle of ranting. Eh? And he'd pick him up and leave. And, you know, he was a gruff character, but he was also a super guy, too.
You knew deep down that he cared about you?
Absolutely. Yeah. I had kind of maintained a little bit of contact with Mav later through Marty. I still speak to Marty McSorley quite a bit, and as a matter of, he just called me last week, as a matter of fact. And whenever he swings through Calgary, we usually either go for a steak or a beer.
How's Marty doing? How's Marty doing?
Marty's doing good. He's doing good. He's married. He's got a house on the Strand down in California, and he's, I believe, selling that now and moving. They're going to move to Arizona, and he's got a young family. And don't forget, like, we're 60 and he's still got a young family because he married a little younger.
I ran into Marty years and years ago up in Sudbury. Yeah. And invited him to come on an intermission on my broadcast with me. And okay. He seemed a little bit indifferent to the idea. And one of the coaches on the team was giving me a hard time, like I'd been rejected by a girl I asked out or something like that. But wouldn't you know, Ken, there I was in my intermission. And I don't know, I mean, what you would have known about the broadcast location, but it's not the easiest thing to get to. You got to climb basically this ladder to get up into the box. But son of a gun, Marty showed up and we did an intermission interview together. So there you go.
Awesome. He's a great guy. Yeah.
Well, he's got those big bear paws for hands too. Just swallowed up half my arm.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he's a brute for sure.
How many of the guys from your days do you keep in touch with?
Well, and you know, I just ran into a few in the last few years that we, through a group, through the Sioux Greyhounds, like, you know, Huey Larkin and some of those guys, that Terry Tate and Chris Felix, guys like that, that are still kind of connected to the Sioux. But Dan Quinn's on there too. But yeah, so through social media, we'll see each other all on chiming in on something.
I think it was social media that led you to reconnect with a former broadcaster from Sault Ste. Marie, Paul Hendrick.
Ah, yes, that's right. That's right. We had connected through Facebook, and he was in town with the Leafs, of course. And he told me down where they were staying, and I went down and met him for a coffee, and we caught back up then. Yeah, I remember Paul from my first year in the Sioux and living with Smitty. It was one lot of fun.
Yeah, no kidding. I was curious too. I've talked to a number of guys on this show about playing in Belleville. And for a goaltender especially, the dimensions of that rink, Ken, must have driven you batty.
It kind of did, because you kind of lose where your net is behind you. It's like playing in the middle of Lake Ontario. And I used to tease Marty all the time, because early on in Marty's career, he was easy to beat wide, eh? And I'm like, oh my God, Marty, get off the goddamn ice. So I said, it's like playing shorthanded with you out here. Anyways, we had a lot of fun with that. But it was pretty wide open in your own end for sure. So we had some good hockey games.
And you had mentioned Kingston earlier. What was the rivalry like with, I guess back then it was the Canadians?
It was the Canadians. Yeah, it was really good. And I mean, they had, who did they have? Like Siltala, Stothers and Mike Moffitt and guys like that. It was, they'd fill those rinks. Well, and Kingston didn't have a big rink, so it pulled pretty quick. So yeah, it was a pretty good atmosphere to play in.
What led you out to Calgary?
Well, you know what? My mom was from out west, and then she came out here when we were all moved out and later in life, and I came out to visit her In 94, and I stayed. I sent for my things, and I said, this is pretty cool. So I moved out here.
It's a completely different vibe than the mega city of Toronto, isn't it?
It is. It is. And, you know, in Toronto, I grew up in a small part of Toronto, though, in the beaches. And that was a beautiful neighborhood. I enjoyed it there. But you had to be able to afford to stay in the beaches, and you got to work and you got to do all that. And when I came out to visit my mom, I thought, this is beautiful out here. So I thought, geez, this is a great place. So I've got three siblings there. I've got two brothers and a sister still there, but they're not right in the heart of Toronto. I got a brother out in Ajax and a brother in Oakville, and my sister's in Milton. So
when you look back, Ken, on your Ontario Hockey League career, what memories stand out for you as the fondest?
Well, probably my first year getting drafted and my first year in the Sioux and playing in a small town like that was absolutely amazing. And then between my first year in the Sioux and then my first year in Belleville, when I really got to play a lot of games, it was amazing. Both, you know, both had small town vibes and everybody knew who you were, and it was great.
I touched base with Scott Clark, who's also, he was in the front office with the Oshawa Generals and now does memorabilia. And he had connected with you. He was actually the one that helped me get in touch with you because was it a Sault Ste. Marie Greyhounds jacket?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, in my travels, I had left everything behind, all behind me. I left a trail of shit from I don't know where to wherever it ended. Anyways, a jacket showed up from my year that on a memorabilia site, and I'm like, Jesus, I'm gonna bid on that. And I ended up bidding on it, and I got it, and the rest is history. So it was nice to get a jacket back.
Absolutely, and it just makes me think, like now, you know, as you age, do you look back differently? I mean, I think sometimes when we're in the moment, when we're going through the league, we don't really think about the impact it's having.
You know what? And absolutely. What would I do things a lot differently? I tell my son, you keep every hockey sock, you keep every jersey, everything, every little piece of every puck, keep all of that, because I didn't. And I'm here. I'm still scrambling to buy shit when I see it. Stuff that I should have had in my bag. So I said, Cherish it all, remember it all, and stay close to it, man, because it's an amazing ride.
So I suppose a puck from your first win, for example, isn't something that is still with you.
It's not with me, no.
Yeah.
But and again, that's another item I purchased through Scott too. I got another puck.
Perfect.
I did.
So we're helping keep Scott in business, which is awesome, right?
For sure.
And he's connecting me to people like you so we can talk about the old days.
That's really cool.
What would you do to get ready for a game? Because I've worked in this league long enough that I know that on most game days, don't even bother trying to talk to the starting goaltender. And I get it, full respect, yep. But what was your preparation like?
You know what? Back then, of course, we didn't have social media. I'd always want to sleep in the afternoon after eating something, and then I couldn't eat, right? So you have to eat something fairly early, and then I'd need a big sleep, and then we'd get up, and Smitty and I'd go to the rink, get ready. And we'd always go really early. We'd be one of the first kids there, and because that's kind of where you want to be. Nobody was ever late game day.
Do you still play at all? Any beer league, anything?
I do.
Nice.
I do. Every Sunday night, I play at my local rink. I still put them on. So it's, and I know a lot of goalies that don't put the pads on anymore. And they're usually playing out. They're on a wing or D or doing something. But I still want to stay in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How are the knees after all of this and hips?
Well, you know what? The knees are fine, but I've had 5 hip replacements.
Yowza.
So, yeah, I don't know that I'll go for a six, but I've had fun.
But you're still out there battling. That's all that
I
counts.
am, for sure I am.
Ken, it's been
What's
fun.
really good, though, what's really good is when my son comes home at Christmas or something and he can play with us. So it's nice to be able to play with your kid.
Sure. Where is he right now?
He's playing for the Okanagan Lakers and the BCIHL. He's going to UBCO.
Nice.
Yeah.
And you didn't try to talk him out of hockey, eh?
No way. Like, this is like his, when his last couple of years in the K, because he went there early as a midget, with the Kelowna Chiefs, and in his last year he was the captain there, but he started university in his second year in the K, but only taking a couple of courses at UBCO. And then when his time come to an end with the K, the Okanagan Lakers had their first season start, and that's they recruited him to go and play there. So it's been 6 years for him for a 4-year undergrad. I said, "You want to do it? You want to play again? This now's the time to do it." So he's doing it.
And when you get the chance to play against him, how much or with him, how much of a friendly rivalry is there? Hey, Dad, I beat you top glove.
Yeah, he well, I leave. I bait him too, right? I bait him too. But he would always play against me for sure. We have to do it that way.
Course.
Yes, of course.
Of course. So, as a kid that grew up in Toronto, now I'm curious, and we talked about how much fun it would have been playing in Maple Leaf Gardens and Palmateer and all that stuff. But are you a Flames fan now, Ken?
I am through and through a Flames fan.
No kidding.
Absolutely.
You turned on us, Ken.
I did. I did. Well, it, God, what a good bunch of guys out here. And as a goalie, I fell in love with Mika Kiprusoff. I was like, this guy was he was something else. So yeah, we are through and through Flames fans.
Well, I guess that's allowed, all things considered, right?
Yeah, for sure.
Listen, it's been fun getting the chance to chat with you. Thanks very much for making the time to do this.
No problem, man. Anytime.
I'm Matt Kundle, host of the Sound Off Podcast, the show about podcast and broadcast. Since 2016, we've been speaking with amazing people who have populated your ears for decades. Legendary broadcasters, research wizards, talent experts, podcasters, voice talent. Almost 400 stories, all for free. Subscribe or follow the Sound Off Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or at soundoffpodcast.com.
Another Sound Off Media Company podcast.